sorry would my heart be.
I was lost. I don't know where I would be. Had there been no Calvary, I thank God for that old tree. I love the cross. Forever he leads, and whatever the cost, I will cling to that old rugged cross. I love the cross. I love the cross. For it was there I found life when I was lost. I don't know where I would be had there been.
I am forgetful. No, look, I have one.
Once again,
thanks. Yeah, I know, because you're really wonderful like that.
And I battled him all the
I don't know what you're talking about.
On, but in my weakness, God sent reinforcements. And
good morning. Glad every... Hi. All right, Happy New Year. If you'll find your seats, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for a new year. Thank you for new beginnings. Lord, we thank you so much for how you've worked in our life this last year. And Lord, we're excited to see what you're going to do this year. We love you so much. And be with the services today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's all stand and turn to 227. 227. Saved by the blood.
Saved by
For your singing, you may be seated, and then turn over to 162. 162. To God be the glory. Mrs. Rome. If you don't have your bulletin, they're in the back. I have a second one if anybody needs one. For once. All right. And today is January 1st, so Happy New Year to everybody. Tonight at 6 p.m., our services tonight will have several popcorn preaching messages. They're about 9 minutes long each, and it's a lot of fun for those that get to do it. Wednesday, January 4th, a Bible preaching and prayer at 7 p.m. Saturday. January 7th, Operation Saturation, soul winning, bus visitation. And then they'll be having a Kansas concealed carry class at the church, starting at 8 going to 5. If you don't want the certification, you can still come and learn a lot about gun safety and different things. It's a really good class. Warren Glore teaches it, my father-in-law, and he's really good at it. And that's not for a son-in-law saying that. I've taken this class and I've sat through a couple of them. They're really good. And Sunday, January 22nd, Sanctity of Life, Sunday. And then January 29th, bus adoption, and Crazy Hat Sunday. And please remember the people that that are on our prayer list on the back. And there's other neat stuff in there if you haven't read it already. Thank you very much, and brother, it's all yours.
All right, it's good to be back in here on a new year. I'm so glad 2022's gone myself, but anyway, before the year had ended, I thought, I've gone through quite a few years and hadn't even had any car accidents or anything. Went to Dillon's and somebody backed into my truck. It knocked off the bumper. It's an old truck, I always blamed all the dents and everything on my dad because it used to be his. I said, oh yeah, dad did that. Well, that's not the worst of it. Last day of the year, I go back out of the driveway and I ran into my garage door and ripped off the front bumper. So I'm glad 22 is over. Just wait and see what I can do to my truck by next year. Matter of fact, I didn't even drive it today. I said, I'm taking the car. I like the car anyway because if it's cold outside, all I have to do is push the button and my seat warms right up. So I don't even have to turn on the heater. It just keeps me warm sitting there. All right. Anyway, 22, it's in the past, got things ahead to look forward to. And I know Nathan, he's getting ready to go back. I see him down there. Yeah. Okay. He's going back to college here next week and everything. Got things to look forward to there in school and classes to take and everything. So all of us, though, we need to be thinking of things and things we can look forward to in 2023, already 23. You know what? One of the things I'm looking forward to is the coming of my Lord and Savior. I believe it's right here, right around the corner. One day, the Bible tells us, dead in Christ is going to rise first. We which are alive and remain are going to be caught up to ever be with the Lord. And it could be this year. It could be today. I don't know. But but there's nothing in the Word of God that tells us there's anything that needs to take place before that. Because one day the trump's going to sound, the dead in Christ is going to rise. Today we are back in Acts chapter 15. If you missed last week's Sunday school lesson, it was one of the best I ever taught. We didn't have it. Anyway, I'm sure if you missed that one, you're really, you really missed something great. But last week we celebrated Christmas and had one service and God blessed. And we're so thankful that we have a Savior that came into the world. Now, in Acts chapter 15, just got started into it a couple of weeks ago. In chapter 14, I want to go back just a little bit to remind us that when Paul, after his experience there in Lystra, he was stoned there, and they thought he was dead and everything, and he came, but it wasn't time. God's timetable wasn't up for him, so he was alive there, came revived, as it said there in verse. People took and drew him out and stoned him in verse 20 of chapter 14. It says, howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And so they went on and they began to preach again, and it says in verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And in other words, he was telling the people, we're going to go through these troubles. We're going to go through these times of trouble. But we need to remember we're on the Lord's side. He's going to take care of these things. And then in the last part of that verse, it says, or in verse 23, it says, when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed and fasted, they commanded them to the Lord, to whom they whom believed. And they went to all the went back. They were heading back to Antioch. That's where they started out, and that's where the Lord had, the Holy Spirit had talked to our was on the minds of the people to send out Barnabas and Saul to go preach the gospel. So this is the end of their first missionary journey, and all the things we can see that happened, people were saved and everything, and the apostles wanted to go back and encourage those people again and again, and so, but now they're heading to Antioch. And as they get to Antioch, this is the church where they were from, and it says in verse chapter 15, verse 1, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. And when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation or disputing with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go to Jerusalem unto the apostles and the elders about this question." And so the last week I kind of took off from there, and we talked about there were some changes taking place. Here we have one of the first times that there's actually a debate, an issue going on that they wanted to get straightened out. And not only was it important for the church of Antioch, this is where they came from. This is the church that Barnabas and Saul were sent out from. And now there's a contention there saying that, well, you know, you got to do something else. You got to do something else. And this heresy began to start there. And later on, this is known today anyway as Judaism and different things. They're trying to combine the old law with Christianity. And that's happening so many times today, and we'll look at a few things here this morning. It says, but there was enough discussion on it and disputing about it. Paul and Barnabas definitely were against this this type of teaching, because it was something that was not lawful. And we'll be looking at a few scriptures here this morning that will help us out with that question about that. Why that it was not necessary. We need to ask ourselves here, what did change? And I think I talked a lot about that last week. The thing that changed was, the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians in chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son to be born of a virgin, to be born under the law, to redeem them that was under the law. There was something that changed, and that was that Jesus Christ came into the world. He was God, and now he came into the world, and things were going to change. And we talked a few things, last week we asked, what was going to change? Well, we found there in John's Gospel, in chapter 4, I'll read it again, but in John's Gospel, chapter 4, here Jesus comes, and he's speaking to a woman at the well, and he's in Smyrna, and talking to her. And here in chapter 4, as he's speaking to her, he's saying here that in chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, unto them, chapter 4, and verse 19, it says, and the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And Jesus had told her some things about herself, and she perceived that, that he was a prophet. In verse 20 says, our fathers worshipped in the mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. That's what the Jews said. They needed to go to Jerusalem, and that's where the sacrifices were made and all these things, and it was a place of worship. And Jesus said unto her in verse 21, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship not what ye know not what. We know what we worship, for the salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the Lord's teaching right here that things are going to change. You're not going to no longer be Jerusalem. It's no longer going to be or at the mountain or whatever it may be that where people thought they needed to worship. That was not going to be it. They were going to worship in spirit and in truth. And so and some things change. We talked a little bit about last week about salvation. Salvation has always been by faith. Abraham, when he believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. And it was, never has been by doing something. The law was given, and we're going to be looking at that in just a little bit here. The law was given to us for a schoolmaster to teach us some things and to show us some things. And so it's very important that we realize Jesus came and he told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that we must be born again. So it says here in John chapter 3 and verses, I'll just read 3 through 7 here. And it says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So he makes it very plain to Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to him. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, it tells us in verse 1. And he comes to him, and Jesus says, and we notice here that Jesus, when he started talking to him, said, verily, verily. That's important. When we see that in the scriptures, Jesus is saying, listen up, this is important. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see God. There had to be a change in the person. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? That reminds me of, I was talking to Scott Rowe the other day. Brother Rowe, you need to talk to your son. He's at our house the other day, and he's sitting there telling me how hard it's been getting that at work. He's getting older, and he says, I'm tired, you know, I'm working on my computer. He says, I find myself falling asleep. I'm getting, the bones are hurting. He says, it's hard for me to get around and work. I looked at him and said, Scott, how old are you? You know, he's what, 46, 44, 6, something like that. Yeah, and he's already hurting. I said, you haven't got anything yet. I mean, it hasn't started. You haven't even hit 50. It's a long, anyway, I think of these things because I got a birthday coming up, you know, it's another one. Lord gave us some real blessings in the Word of God. He says three, he told us we're 70. That's 70 years. And guess what happens after that? We live on grace. We live on God's grace. And I'm glad I've been living in God's grace for a while now. But anyway, so and, you know, Jack, look at him. He's been living in God's grace for a long time. No, all of us, you know, we realize that, you know, God is good. And anyway, where was I? And I got off on a rabbit trail there. But anyway, things change. That's what we're talking about. And Jesus said, verily, verily, to him, and we need to listen up. And he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Here it was. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb? That's where I got to the old part. But anyway, Jesus said unto him, again, verily, verily, important, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's that water birth, that has been experienced when we were born. Everyone in here, there's not a soul living in here today that has not experienced that birth. You wouldn't be here if you hadn't experienced this birth. You've experienced that. But the Bible tells us, Jesus is telling, there's another birth that you need to receive. And that's the spiritual birth, the Spirit. And he says, born of the Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and when thou hearest the sounds thereof, but canst not tell whence it came and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. We need to realize that God is a Spirit. That's where we need to worship Him. And when the Holy Spirit touches our heart and we know that we're sinners, we're on the road to hell, and the Holy Spirit has touched us, and we know that we need to do something about our lives. That's the point when the Holy Spirit is talking to us. I remember when I got saved. Like I mentioned before, I had several people talk to me or give me the plan of salvation, but I didn't understand it until one day in West Point, Mississippi, when Brother Ramsey came to me and began to talk to me about being born again. And he began to show me the scriptures. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit touched my heart. And I realize I'm on the road to hell. Tomorrow, if I don't do something about it, I'm going to spend an eternity in hell. And that day, I got on my knees and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart, into my life, and to save my soul. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, when the Holy Spirit touches us like that, that's when we need to confess Christ as our personal Savior. That's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. And I believe that Nicodemus believed in the things that the Lord had said. He went on to tell him. He even connected it more for him here in verse 14 of chapter 3. And he said to him, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He was showing him and telling him he was going to go to the cross of Calvary and he was going to be lifted up, that whosoever would go to the cross, see the cross, they would be saved. They could accept Christ. He could see his shed blood that was shed for him on Calvary. Just like in the Old Testament, Nicodemus knew the story well. He knew that the Israelites had been, they sinned against God, and God sent the serpent and had bitten them, and all those that were bitten, they were going to die. And they said, the only way they're going to live is that they told Moses to put that old serpent on a cross and hold it up. And anybody that looked, they would live. If you look and live. And so that's what happened. And that's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you need to look to me. I'm the one that's going to the cross of Calvary. I'm going to shed my blood and die for you. John the Baptist in John chapter 1 here. We can find out John the Baptist seen the Lord coming and said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And so he realized, people were realizing Jesus was the answer. And so anyway, Moses here lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and he told him about that. And he goes on to say in verse 15, it says, whosoever, Jesus explaining it to him, whosoever believeth in me, in him, shall not perish, but he shall live. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He's explaining it all to Nicodemus here. And it goes on to say, and Jesus told him, he said, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ is not condemned. Next part of that verse says, but he that believeth not. If we do not accept Christ as our personal Savior, he that believeth not is condemned already. Already. We're born into this world, we're lost without Christ. We need to accept him as our personal Savior. We had the water birth, but you got to have that spiritual birth. He says, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he believeth not. Now this is the reason, because he believeth, back up, because he hath not believed in the name of the Son of the the only begotten Son of God. And he that, and that he is a combination, that the light cometh into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes and light comes on in our life, and we realize that there's light out there, and we need to get out of the darkness that we're in. It says, but he that doth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifested, that they are wrought in God. And so through the Lord Jesus Christ, we accept Christ as our personal Savior. We talked about that. Those are some of the things that changed from the Old Testament those things. But we're going to look a little bit further. What changed? It must be settled that Christianity does not have the same, is not connected with Judaism, this Judaism. It's not circumcision that they were the Judaizers were talking about here. It didn't have to be circumcised, nor the sacrifices that were to be made, because the temple was still going on back at the time here in the book of Acts. They were still going to the temple, and things were happening there, and different things like that. But it wasn't those things. It wasn't the sacrifices. It wasn't the holy priesthood. It wasn't the dietary laws. It wasn't even the Sabbath. Let's look in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, if you have your Bibles this morning, and I hope you do since you're here in Sunday school class, good opportunity to look into God's Word. It says, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16 says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of holy days or of the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are the shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. It's Christ. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Is the hope of glory. And so some of the things that has changed. He's talking about here, there was no more need for the sacrifices to be made that the offerings, the blood sacrifices that were being made in Jerusalem, in the temple and all these things. There was no more need. Why? Because the Savior had come. And there's no more need of these things. And that's the reason why the two great books of the epistles here, the book of Hebrews and the book of Galatians, teaches us and tells us those things. Paul took the opportunity and the time when he seen these things were coming into the church, he began to write, to begin to think about these things. And he put them down, and God, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gave the book of Hebrews and Galatians to Paul, and he was able to explain this to us even more and better in some of these verses. We see in the book of Hebrews, in the first two chapters of the book of Hebrews, talks about Jesus Christ is better than the angels. That's what the two verses talk about. Jesus was higher or better than the angels. And not only that, in Jesus is better than Moses. Moses was a servant of God, but Jesus was a son of God. He's a son of God. And we can find that in chapter 2 and book of Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3 for just a minute. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, here and in verse 5. Hebrews chapter 3, 5 says, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for the testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But verse 6 says, but Christ, as the Son of God over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. He tells us here, we're in Christ. We're in Christ. When we accept Christ as our personal Savior, the Bible tells us old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. We're in Christ. It's a change that's taking place. And this is the thing that the Apostle Paul and Barnabas were trying and debating with them, telling them how important we need to realize that things change. It wasn't the circumcision. It wasn't the sacrifices. It wasn't Moses. It wasn't all of the priesthood or any of these things, the dietary law or that could be. And then let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4 while we're there. And talked a little bit more here in chapter 4 and verses 14 through 16. Now this shows us Christ as the high priest. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of our needs. I'm glad today that he's our high priest. We can go boldly before the throne of grace. That's why it's such a privilege to pray. We have a great high priest that wants to hear our prayers. And he says, he told us here when we have a great high priest, he's been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was tempted in all ways as we were. Even that there at Gethsemane, when right before the cross, he knew that he was going to have to give up this fleshly body. And there he said, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. He gave it all. He gave himself for our sins upon the cross. He was tempted. And it goes on and says, and he was tempted in sin. It says in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly. We need to be able to pray and come to God boldly, knowing he hears our prayers. And he says here, come boldly before the throne of grace. I'm so glad he's got that amazing grace for us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. His grace, that's what allows us to come boldly before the throne of grace. And what else does he say? That we may obtain mercy. I'm so glad for God's mercy. He's merciful to us. He's merciful to us here as we live in the United States, a free country, that we can go out and tell people about Christ. We have the mercies that God has shown us. There's so many things that he has showed us and showed us mercy we could probably take the rest of the class time here and the rest of the day just showing all the mercies that God has done for us. God's been merciful to me. He has shown me time and time again where my sins I should have paid for, but he showed me mercy that I didn't have to do that. He paid it all for me upon the cross of Calvary. I'm so glad for his grace. You know, mercy we're getting what we deserve. We're not getting what we deserved. Grace is his giving us something we never deserved. That grace, it is a truly amazing grace. He says, and what happens? We find grace to help in the time of need. Sometimes there's things that come up in our lives that we just don't know how we're going to make it through. Grace. Sometimes looking into 2023 coming up, I don't know what's ahead. My life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I don't know how long I'm going to be upon this earth, but because of his mercy and his grace, I'll get through. We'll get through. We'll make it because of what he's did for us. I'm glad we have a high priest like that. So it tells us there in the book of Hebrews, testifies and tells us he was greater than Melchizedek, and he was a greater high priest than Aaron, and we know because he is God himself. He has taken upon himself the form of flesh and became obedient even to death, it tells us in the book of Philippians. In Galatians, it talks about the covenant. God gave a covenant to Abraham. In Galatians, let's turn back over there for just a few minutes. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Galatians 3:16 says here, it says, "Now to Abraham his seed were the promise made." And the promise to the Jewish people, he says, and he said not to seeds as many, but as of one, and to that seed which is Christ. He said, there's been a promise given. God even promised Abraham. See, Abraham was saved by faith, his faith. And the Bible says when he believed in God, it was counted unto him for righteousness. It's the only way a person can be saved is believing God. God promised him that he would have a seed, and that seed would live forever. And that seed is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so not only that, in Galatians 3:19, it says, here it says, "Wherefore then severeth the law?" The law came in 430 years after God had gave the promise to Abraham. So why did God give the law? It was added because of the transgression. Let's read verse 19. Because of the transgression until the seed should come. It was added because there was transgression, because man sinned. So God added, told Moses to write the Ten Commandments. He gave them the law, the things that should help them, to give them guidance and direction. These are the things they need to do. In that law was the circumcision. In that law was the Ten Commandments. In that law was dietary laws. In that law was laws about the Sabbath and all these things. But why were they given? Let's read on a little further. And it was obtained, let's back up just a bit. It says where it severed the law. It was added because of the transgression until the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hands of the mediator. Now the mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. And so it tells us that, all these things happen. In verse 24, it says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." And it goes on to say in verse 25, "But after faith it comes, we are no longer under the schoolmaster." After we accepted the law, after we accepted Christ, the law makes no difference. No difference. Now we have a great mediator. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 17 says this, and a shadow of things, that it was a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. The law was just a shadow of things to come. Now what meant by that is that it was a picture. Circumcision was a picture of it was called the circumcision of the heart, which is regeneration, when we accept Christ as our personal Savior. So that was just a picture of something else what the law was. Not only was that a circumcision, the Sabbath day. We think of the Sabbath day. I used to have a friend of mine when I was at Cessna, and he was a 7-day Adventist. And he always wanted to talk to me about the Sabbath. Oh, you're not worshiping on the right day. The Bible says the sixth day, and God rested on the seventh. And we know that there is a Sabbath. The Bible talks about that. But that was just a shadow of things to come, because now in Christ, we have a greater rest. We have a greater rest. And we see that the Mosaic law has had all these things. And Sabbath of the sixth day after creation, the Lord rested. Not only that, but he pictured through all of the feast that they had and everything, they always ended on a Sabbath. They were rest. He was showing them that after all these things, there was a time of rest. And that was a shadow of a picture of the rest that Christ gives us. When we rest, we no longer have to deal with that law. We're in Christ. We become whole, new creatures. Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Not only that, there is a greater rest. It's a picture of the sweet rest and peace that we have in Christ as born-again Christians. But not only that, one day there's going to be a great rest, and that's going to be in heaven. It's in heaven. And one day, oh, I was talking to a friend at work, he was telling me all about that. Then one day I was reading in my Bible and found this, that there is a greater rest to come. And that rest is in Christ. And so this is the things that Paul was getting ready for this, the argument and showing people that it wasn't the law. The law had been put away with. And that's why in the book of Galatians and the book of Hebrews and Colossians and all these places, he points them to Christ. Because he was a shadow of things to come. The law and stuff was just a shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus was going to take care of all those things. It was all going to be put behind him. And so next week in chapter 15, we're going to look further into the heresies and the things that comes up as they get to Jerusalem. And we find out the Apostle Peter was aligning up with what Paul was saying. And the other thing, Merlin, friend at work, he'd say, oh, you're looking at the Pauline gospel. Not the Pauline gospel. It's the Lord's gospel. It was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the apostles believed. And in the beginning, that things changed when Jesus came. All right, we'll stop right there. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we serve a great God. Father, I pray that you just have your will and way in services to come. I pray that you hide our pastor behind the cross of Calvary, Lord, as he gets up and proclaims your word. Lord, that your word, we know, will not return to you void, but it'll accomplish that which you please and prosper in the things where to you send it. Father, I pray that you just be with each and every person that's here this morning under the sound of the voice here. Lord, we know that there's needs here in the church today. Each and every one of us need to come boldly before the throne of grace in the hour and the time of our needs. And we're thankful that we have you to sit there on a throne and hear our requests and hear our needs. Father, I pray you bless the services to come. Now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.